Hello, is that the hospital?
It is.
Oh, hello. One of you can help me. My name is Mr. Simpkins.
Yeah.
And I'm writing a book about amnesia. Do you have a name of a man there who's expert in it?
I'm afraid I don't.
Oh, hello. Yeah, I wonder if you can help me. My name is Simpkins. And I'm doing this book about amnesia, and I wondered if you've got a name that you could give me of an expert, that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just a secretary here, so I wouldn't know.
Right.
It's probably a person who's actually works here full-time. They probably know.
Can I help you?
Pardon?
Can I help you? You phoned?
No, I didn't.
So, hold on, let me get this straight. You want 200 weight of nutty slack, or is it smokeless or not?
Sorry, I think we got...
Right, I'll tell you what. Hello, my name's Mr. Simpkins.
Oh, right.
Right. I wonder... Do I recognise your voice, aren't you? Didn't I speak to you some moments ago?
Yes, you did.
Right, okay. Who did?
Can you tell me where you're from?
Thursday.
Fun?
I tell you something, I feel a song coming on. When I get older, losing my mind, talking to myself. Will you have me locked up by the NHS? Doubly incontinent, it's all for the best. If I mistake your portable phone for the lavatory, will you disown me, say you never known me when I'm 83? Once I'm in the hospital, you're moving to my terraced house with your lovely wife and throw my things away. You said you'd visit me on the 33rd of May. Senile dementia, everyone says, and they point at me. Nurse, I've done a tingle and a ploppy.
Yes, you have, Mr. Lopley, but you've forgotten to take your trousers off again, you stupid man.
He's a textbook Alzheimer's, the doctors agree. Electroconvulsive therapy. They say I'm wandering in my mind, but my wife is Hitler, you know. I buggered a nun, whipped off a wimple. Claire Rayner is me dad.
There's nothing but crap on the radio. I'm switching on my telly.
Oh, I'll switch on my fictional television, all right?
I switch on my fictional television, but unfortunately notice that the sound effect for a television being switched on has been borrowed from the library, so I'm forced to make the sound myself.
Listen, click. All right, it's not up to the drama...
All right, it's not up to the drama department standard, but I'll try again.
Click.
Greasing the cucumber and ramming it firmly home with a mallet until the bulb lights up.
Oh.
And there'll be more entertainment from Steve Race with the emphasis on chronic disability at the same time next week.
Oh, I like him, Steve Race.
And now on BBC Two with the next programme where comedy, my voice would start to go all high and frothy and I'd speak faster. However, the next programme is serious and so my voice will go all important, gravelly and slow.
Oh, dear.
It's 9 o'clock and time for the second in our 6-part series of Fly on the Wall documentaries.
Hello there. This is a fly, and it's on the wall. Right, it's a fly, and the fly is on the wall. I'm making a documentary about it. There's a fly there. There's a close-up of the fly on the wall, as I said. At this joke, I should point out, as far as walls go, that wall has without a doubt got a fly on it.
This is crap. I saw it last week. Flies don't do much on the wall. They just walk about aimlessly making patterns and going toilet. It's a disgrace. I pay my licence fee. Hold on a second. I don't pay my licence fee. That's right. But anyway, I don't avoid paying my licence fee to get a load of repeat. I'm risking a £200 fine and 3 months in prison to watch rubbish like this. It's disgraceful. The BBC should get themselves on it.
Jacqueline Dupre, struck down with multiple sclerosis. Itzhak Perlman, confined to a wheelchair with polio. Disease often strikes gifted musicians at the height of their powers. So can you help Nigel?
Monster Lee Miller, Aston Villa Cannon.
Nigel is still in his 20s.
At the Clarence.
But sadly,
Sternberg was a crazy guy.
He has been struck down by a cruel and pernicious disease.
And manic monster.
He has acquired the common touch syndrome. This was Nigel in 1970.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
Peter.
Yes, Nigel?
Please, will you send me off to the Holy Manwin School?
Of course. Off you go, Nigel.
Yes, thank you. La 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 la.
But one day, when he was a little older, Nigel heard something shocking from his record company.
Thanks for coming in, Nigel. That's I've just got your latest recording on the machine now. Let's have a listen to it. Apparently it's very good, I've been told. Okay. Here we go.
Do you like it?
Nigel,
yes?
That is gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. I put a lot of work into it.
That is gorgeous,
I
Nigel.
Practiced.
But there's just one problem.
What's that?
Your records are selling very well.
Yes?
But never to the working classes.
Oh, golly gosh, that means I'm not making as much money as I could.
Nigel?
Yes?
I want you to do something for me. Something rather personal.
Yes?
Something that's our little secret.
Oh, dear.
Nigel, I want you to become Rough Trade.
Rough Trade!
At this precise point, Nigel became HMV positive.
Leave it out, John. Nonce the bait over there, only
that's
for the
it,
top.
Nigel.
Up the villa. Where's
rough.
Me fiddle?
Be rough.
Bon twat.
Poor Nigel. His condition became chronic.
Chronic, man. Chronic.
And he's become almost terminally patronising. Please give as much as you can to the Patronising Musicians Benevolent Fund. We'll see that Nigel receives a refresher dose of elocution lessons and has his leather jacket surgically removed. Only then can the working classes return to their Richard Clayderman and their sing-along and Max. Help Nigel before he follows in a long line of Kennedys to be assassinated. And next week, Ben. Ben is an alternative comedian with a degree whose parents are both Oxbridge Dons and who, for some reason, speaks with a Cockney accent.
Say Carmina, and I say Carmina. You say Burana, and I say Burana. Carmina, Burana, Carmina, Burana. Oh, let's call the whole thing off.
What about you? I felt that punchline arriving about 6 months ago.
Look at the state of this corridor. It's this gusting like animals. I wish they'd piss in the lift like any other decent human being. It's like living in squalor.
On the way home to my luxury old penthouse flat, I meet Dr. Dreyfus, Britain's only one-fingered gynecologist.
Gusting. Oh, it's Mr. Dreyfus. Hello, Mr. Dreyfus.
Dr. Dreyfus, doctor.
Dr. Dreyfus.
Sorry about
the good doctor is kneeling outside his front door with his whole arm up to the armpit, pushed through his letterbox, feeling his hat stand and giving it a no-nonsense exploratory.
It's just not right. I mean, what are you doing, Dr. Dreyfus?
Such a business that I'm stuck already. Stuck that my letterbox should develop vaginosis. So ask me what sort of day I've had.
What sort of day have you had?
Don't ask. Such a terrible day. Have I suffered? Have I suffered? Have I suffered?
Have you suffered?
We have suffered. We. Oppression. Refugees. Walking the Holocaust. The ghetto, the Anschluss, the Yellow Star. Never forget such an obscenity, a blight on humanity, and you even think of forgiveness. Never again will we permit, and still we are oppressed. Rouse, student, and the walking and the cattle trucks, the hunger, don't talk to me, hunger, into the showers. Rouse, my mother, my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather. So much pain, so much torture, so much suffering. We will avenge. We will avenge. I deny Israel.
Not been a good day, then.
Not been a good day.
Anyway, I must point something out. Dr. Dreyfus. I've looked you up in Who's Who, Dr. Dreyfus. And, Dr. Dreyfus, you are not a gynecologist. And furthermore, you're not Jewish.
You know I'm not Jewish.
That's right. You're a pork butcher from Accrington, name of Fred Quibble, and you've got onto my series under false pretenses. I think I better explode. Heavens, he's blown himself up. Still, good riddance, I say. That's him out of the series. His agent was asking too much money anyway, and his ratings was crap. He was never popular. Never.
Look at the state of this!
I walk through the front door to collect the post. I wait through a sea of mail, including the usual adoring fan matters.
Oh, I'm so flattered. What does this say? It says, Dear Mr. Smith, we know you remove the dead dog's heads and bury them in the garden. We saw you committing a Hunnish act with a doggy's bottom. They all split in the same place. You are sick.
Next on the map, I find a packet containing a free sample.
I don't know. It's always something new in this house. Oh, look, it's a free sample, Mrs. Tribby. Look, it says, try our new improved formula, Dehydrated Take 6. Just pop the tablets into a cup of water and hey presto, a refreshing cup of a cappella singing. Oh, I must try this at once. There's the 6 tablets. I'll plop them all in. There's 1 bass, 2 baritones, a couple of tenors, and an alto. Et voila! It's Take 6! my very own beaker. What are you going to sing for us this week, boys? More of your usual religiously didactic tripe.
We're going to sing Mary.
Take it away, boys. Here's your starting note.
Well, I'm singing Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
Well, Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
Cause Pharaoh's
army.
But don't you know that in
drowning the Red Sea. You weep.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
Well, singing Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
Well, Mary.
Mary, don't you weep.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
Cause Pharaoh's
army.
Don't you know that I'm drowning
in the Red Sea.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
I'm singing it.
If I could,
I believe that I would.
I truly
would. Well, I'm gonna put my foot on that rock where Moses stood.
Moses stood.
Cause Pharaoh's army.
Martha, don't you moan.
One more time, sing it again.
If I could,
I should stand on the rock
where Moses stood.
Cause Pharaoh's army. Sorrow, don't you cry,
and throw you a fish.
Hey,
hey boys, that was crap. Yes, it was. You don't so much as sing as you howl. It's caterwauling, it's doggerwauling. You sound like six chihuahuas that have been mounted by Rottweilers.
I don't know nothing about jack shit.
You know I don't. How did you know?
Welcome to yet another sketch about Mastermind. Our first contestant is
Victor Lewis Smith,
and you are answering questions on jack shit. Mr. Smith, you have 3 minutes starting now.
Three humiliating minutes later.
And the last letter in the word jack is K. Mr. Smith, you've scored no points and passed on 93. The boys in take six are right. You clearly don't know nothing about jack shit. That's it from Mastermind this week. Next week, as usual, I've been slipping up on my questions, and there'll be four middle-aged, ugly people who obviously have spent all their time reading books, because for them, sex with anybody other than themselves has always been right out of the question. And, oh dear, I've been talking so much, we seem to have strayed into the part of the sick tune nobody ever hears. And is it any wonder? What a load of dross. And I tell you something else. I just can't impersonate Magnus Magnusson. I can try it time and time.
You hear this stuff on Radio 3. Early music from the 15th century. Our playing is authentic. Yes, it is true. This music was grabbed in those days too.
Yes, title sounded better alive than dead.
A day of Radio Free comes pretty dear. It costs more than Radio 1 does in a year. As for audience figures, not a lot. Just a bearded wonder from the sealed. Early music, the future looks bleak. Sic Gloria Mundi, Tuesday, Wednesday, and every bloody day of the week.
It's been a tricky week in my luxury or penthouse flat.
Stop it, stop it, you popped. Stop it right now, you popped. Stop immediately.
I'm sorry,
you
what?
You popped, I'm head of my friends at the BBC. You popped into your microphone, you popped, I'm afraid you popped.
No, I didn't.
You did, you popped. No arguments, thank you very much. We'll wind back and see.
What?
Here we are.
A tricky week in my luxury or penthouse flat.
Stop. QED.
Well, say what?
Say what? You popped on the P in penthouse. That's
P
what?
Penthouse?
Yes, you overloaded the microphone and you popped. I'm sorry, but you popped in that set.
All right, I popped. It's no big crime. Now, can I get on with the programme, please?
I'm sorry, but there must be retribution. We allow most things on the BBC. Tedious chat shows, Davey, Travis, Margaret, Howard, Derek, Jim, and even John Walters. It's no crime being dull on the BBC. No crime, in fact. We prefer it that way. But what we will not stand for is popping. We're very thorough at the BBC. It doesn't even matter if it were Her Royal Highness's Christmas speech.
This year, more prisoners than ever have been detained at My Majesty's pleasure. That means that I've had more pleasure than ever. A man comes up to me and says, "Your Majesty, does it give you pleasure to detain this person who's committed a parking offence for a further 10 years. I look at his photograph, and if he's an ugly bastard, I say yes, it does give me pleasure, and we all have a sodding good laugh. I suppose you've noticed that I'm not too hot when it comes to royal impersonations, but my people and shit ones brick."
Right, stop it, Your Majesty, stop it. I'm sorry, but you popped. We can't have that, and we cannot have that on the BBC. Put the barrel of this gun in your mouth, please.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Pull the trigger. Whoa. Goodbye, Queen. Heavens, it's not blue after all. Yes, you don't get a second chance if you pop on the BBC.
Shocking, that.
President Kennedy, for example.
Hold on, wasn't he assassinated by the Mafia?
Oh, no, no, no. No, he popped in Dealey Plaza.
Oh.
And Ceausescu?
Ceausescu, he was
popped on the World Service.
Really?
That famous film in the 1960s as well. Do you know that Vietnamese gentleman?
Oh, what, the one screwing up his eyes and being shot through the head by the Viet Cong?
No, you've got the one. Brains all over the floor.
Terrible.
Not shot by the Viet Cong, though. He was being interviewed by a researcher from You and Yours. It was a vox pop. He took it too literally and he popped, and so he popped his clogs.
Oh, dear, this is starting to sound like an Arthur Askey routine. I have to say.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting. He's another one. You see, he popped on the word pollen in his famous hit, The Bee Song.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, Mr. Askey, you popped.
Tragic.
And now it's your turn. I'm afraid we're going to have to pulverize you.
What did you say?
Pulverize.
You popped.
Oh, my God.
You popped.
No.
You popped.
No.
Good afternoon, admissions.
Oh, I wonder if you can help me. I was speaking to your vice-chancellor of the Oxford University at a Masonic meeting a couple of nights ago, and he suggested I phone you personally to talk about the possibilities of my going attending study at the University of... sorry, where is it? Oxford?
Yes.
Yes, Oxford.
Yes.
University of Oxford. Actually, you'd have to laugh because I'm walking up the A1 at the moment with a cell net phone, as you can probably hear.
Wow.
So I can hardly hear you. I wonder if you could talk up, please.
Yes, of course. Right. Have you got a degree?
What's a degree, dear?
Well, it's the qualification you get if you come to the university.
Oh, what, it's just for the day?
No, well, what have you got in mind?
Nothing that I know of. I have had no particularly advanced primary education. I was, in fact, I phoned the University of Cambridge some months ago, and they said that one CSE in domestic science wasn't, I think the gentleman said, up to scratch. But I wanted to do psychology. Do you do that?
Yes, we do.
So I said to your vice-chancellor, he said phone immediately, because we go to the same lodge. I said I wanted to do the psychology business. He said, what is the difference between a magician and a psychologist?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know. He said, well, a magician pulls a rabbit out of a hat and a psychology gets a habit out of a rat. I had to laugh. Who was at Oxford, by the way?
Wen.
Who's that? Sir Christopher Wen?
Wen.
Wen?
Yes.
Could you speak up a bit, please, dear? It's the traffic.
You said, who was at Oxford? And I wanted to know what you meant by... When were you thinking about? Lots of people have been at Oxford.
Well, famous people.
Mrs. Thatcher.
I don't think I'll be going to Oxford. That's put me right off.
Oh,
anyone else? Dead and old?
Just a moment. Richard, who was dead and was at Oxford?
Most of them.
Robert Graves.
Robert Graves. Oh, that's an appropriate name for a dead man.
Indira Gandhi. So, I mean, there's a whole sort of...
Could you write those down on a piece of paper and send them to me, do you think?
Yes, of course.
Right, okay.
The thing is, if your only qualification is the CSE in domestic science...
Yeah.
I think it would be helpful if you did a pre-university course.
Right, okay. Well, I did go to a good school. It was approved. If you get my little gist.
Yes. Yes, I
right,
I
I've got to go.
That.
I've got to cross the road now. Do you know what the Green Cross code is?
Do be careful. I think you must look left, right... Oh, no, I don't...
There's blood everywhere. Help me. You said turn left and right. You're supposed to look right and left. You're asking me to do a bleeding degree at Oxford and you don't even know how to cross the bleeding road. What sort of university are you? Give the wrong sort of advice.
Feeling somewhat peckish, I decide to eat Chinese.
Feeling somewhat peckish, I decide to eat...
Feeling somewhat peckish, I decide to eat Chinese. Normally, I head towards my local French bistro. However, after an unsavory experience last week, I vowed never to go there again. I made the mistake of ordering salad and asking for some French dressing. The maitre d'hôtel immediately called Gaston and Pierre out of the kitchen and told them to put their clothes on. I'd like to thank Mr. and Mrs. Geoffrey Turnbull of Bromley for that excellent joke. They've been a split-brain operation for two performed by a gentleman with a large trepanning drill, but no former neurosurgical qualification.
Mr. Lao Tzu, what's cooking? Oh, no, we did that joke in the first programme.
Instead, I make for the Wang King, my local Chinese takeaway run by the eminent Taoist philosopher and Sinological master of the Egg Foo Young, Mr. Lao Tzu.
And I tell you something, it's uncanny that every time I walk into your rather splendid Chinese food emporium, you're always playing the same piece of music.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you a funny thing.
Don't know about that, but you'll tell me a funny thing, you know.
Oh, yes. You've got to buy electrical goods, you know, from the shop.
When you buy electrical goods, yes.
Oh, but I never have to wear plug-ons.
Why do they never have plugs on, yes?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, the shop is for yourself, 50p, while shoving bare wire into the socket.
Yeah, the shop thinks you wanted to save 60p by shoving the bare wires into the socket. That's absolutely true, Mr. Lao.
I'll tell you a very, very funny, another funny thing.
Tell me another funny thing, yes.
Oh, everyone's program talking about what happened to Dr. Dreyfus, so you killed him off.
Everybody on the program is talking about what happened to Dr. Dreyfus and how I killed him off. Yes.
Oh, it's a terrible thing.
He spent 6 weeks being a racial stereotype, and all the thanks he got was £20 of Semtex.
Oh, I think that's the same thing that happened to me as a racial
stereotype. The same thing's going to happen to you. No, Mr. Lao, it's not going to happen to you. In your case, I'm going to use £30 of explosives.
Dear, my barbecue spare ribs are a trifle singed. Turn out to be not so much a program, more a pogrom.
Hello, Mr. Postie. I hope you don't mind me saying so, but you're rather late on your rounds this morning, aren't you?
Piss off.
Fair point.
Shop cake.
My postman's crap. He's walking through my gate. Surprisingly enough, he's very, very late.
Well, what's 12 hours anyway, eh?
Early in the morning. Well, not very early in the morning. In fact, sometimes at the crack of noon, with letters sent in March but delivered in June, as he whistles some horrible moronic tune. He's as popular with me as a fart in a crowded lift.
You're bone-idle, you are. Yeah, here's your telegram. I opened it in error.
Opened in error?
Yeah, we went on holiday to Dublin. That's in error. Anyway, I had it in my pocket and I read it. It says your mother's dead. She's kicked bucket.
Oh, my God.
Nah, don't worry. They buried her weeks ago. I've had it on me for a couple of months, actually.
Oh. My postman's crap. My postman's dross. When it comes to my packages, he couldn't give a toss. He folds in half my letter that says photographs do not bend. I say,
look, it says photographs do not bend.
Well, they bloody well obviously do bend, my friend.
Down at the sorting office, they play football without a ball. They use parcels labelled fragile glass, and they head them against a wall.
Hey, out to me.
There you go.
Nice word.
Hey, what's in this one anyway?
Stained glass, it says.
Oh, well, if it's stained, no one's going to care, are they?
Right, on the edge.
Go on, Eddie.
What happened?
Yeah, that was a very fine song, and so say all of us. Highly satirical material about first-class mail, sung by a second-class male. And what? I think all the Radio 1 secretaries will agree with that epithet.
Hey?
They tell me that making love to him is like a roller coaster ride.
What?
Over far too quickly, and afterwards they want to throw up. There you are. That was Victor Lewis Smith, written by Paul Sparks and Victor Lewis Smith.
On.
The voices and music were by Mr. Lewis Smith, who also produced the program.
How dare you suggest that women think I'm a lousy lover?
What? Well, after all, how can any woman make a judgment like that in 2 minutes?
Oh, dear. How pathetic. Cue the tape, why?
Immediately.